Hello and welcome to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep minute by minute into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, John.
And I'm Zach.
And we are back on a Tuesday episode.
Yep.
Picking up right where we left off, but this time we are talking about minute 151 through 152 of Dune Part 2 by Denis Villeneuve.
And John, this minute starts with some thumping.
Yeah.
And ends with some grunting.
All right.
It's been a while since I've done one of this.
It's been a minute since we've had a little zinger like that. A little
summary, yeah.
Yeah. We're a little nostalgic today, I think. So yesterday we left off with Paul getting the shit kicked out of him.
Yeah.
And Fade recognizing that Paul has a little crush on someone who may or may not be super happy with him right now. And Fade wants to capitalize on this to try and distract Paul. So he says, "She's your pet."
Mm-hmm.
Any special attention for the pet?
Yeah.
And Paul took his steps closer. And our minute ended there. And today we start with Murder on the Mind. As Paul is just solely focused on Fade.
Yeah.
You know, he's not even looking at Chani or, you know, considering Chani's existence probably in this moment. You know, he takes a moment to compose himself. Fade does the same, and Paul invokes Jameis a little bit.
Is this Jameis?
Sorry, Jameis.
Okay, so I was trying to figure out where this came from.
This comes from Jameis, because when Paul and Jameis go to square up with each other,
mm-hmm.
Jameis does his thump, thump, and then there's a random guy off on the side that, like, mutters something that distracts Paul, and Jameis uses that as the opening.
Ah, gotcha. Yep. Okay, so I drew it back to Duncan Idaho turning on his shield in the first movie.
Nope.
Which is just a one thump, I know.
Yeah.
But I completely forgot about the Jameis fight.
No, Jameis explicitly does the double chest pound with his left hand.
Think it's like to get the adrenaline going again?
I think it's the adrenaline. I think it's, you know, fucking come at me, bro. I think it's a few different things all in one. Nevertheless, Paul goes to strike first, Fade goes to strike first. Paul dodges it, and then the two go back and forth to trading blows.
Yeah, I just put, this is really good choreography. Like, it's very fast, very precise.
It's that, I forget the name of the actual martial art, but when we were talking about part one, when we were first introduced to the fight choreography and everything, mm-hmm. we were talking about how Roger Yuan based a lot of the hand-to-hand combat in Dune off of this Filipino martial art, which is effectively like short stick fighting.
Is that similar to what they do in like John Wick?
Kind of.
Okay. I know it's more of gun martial arts in John Wick, but...
Sure. I mean, John Wick has all sorts of different degrees of choreography and everything. Yeah. But no, this is very like this Filipino martial art is based around short bladed weapons that are, you know, about 12 inches long or so. And it's very quick movements, a lot of like that fast twitchy muscle fighting style rather than like big swipes and big like overhead swings and stuff like that. Just took a second to look it up. The martial art that Roger Yuan based all of the combat off of was called Kali. I had to go digging through my notes from part one to go find that.
And I'm sure there's a number of different influences throughout the movie.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, got to the bottom of that one.
Yeah. But eventually Fade, you know, finds a moment where he can take advantage.
Paul like lunges at him.
Paul goes for a swing.
Yeah.
Because we explicitly see like Paul's elbow, and Fade sees this opening too, locks his elbow with Paul's.
Yeah.
And is able to take control of Paul's wrist and effectively turns his wrist around and runs Paul's Chris knife right into his side.
Yeah. Very painful, very deep. I mean, it's to the hilt, looks like.
Well, not entirely. We're going to get there.
Okay.
But he definitely fucks Paul up in this moment. Yeah. And a cursory, you know, I'm not a doctor.
Mm-hmm. Then why have you been giving me all those physical exams?
You're not supposed to tell people about this. It's doctor-patient confidentiality.
I thought you were a doctor.
Shit. No. Cursory look at a Google image. Once again, I went to google.com and in the search bar I typed in human torso anatomy map. It looks like this could either be making Paul's pancreas have a terrible day or his descending colon have a terrible day. Either way, two places you don't want to be stabbed.
Yeah, and like he's in the oblique muscles as well.
Sure.
Which is, you know, you use those for almost everything, especially standing up and breathing hard.
Yep.
Which is exactly what Paul does.
And we see him having a rough time of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not good.
Everyone around him knows this.
Yeah.
Jessica stands up. Gurney winces.
Gurney carries on the tradition. Or sorry, Josh Brolin carries on the tradition of a solid Gurney Halleck squint. Started by Patrick Stewart, of course. But a solid Gurney Halleck squint in this moment. We had a lot of beautiful squints from Patrick Stewart, most notably during the fight scene when the Harkonnen attack and Patrick Stewart as Gurney Halleck is carrying his battle pug.
Yep.
He's got that squint. He's got the squint that is your Discord profile picture of Gurney Halleck in a dust storm, and he's just like,
it's very David Duchovny in the first or second episode of X-Files.
Yep. Well, I mean, in all of X-Files, let's be real, there's a lot of David Duchovny squinting.
Yeah, it's great. One of the great squinters, that David Duchovny.
He's got good squinting eyes, and Josh Brolin carries that legacy.
We get some good faces out of Gurney / Josh Brolin in these weeks.
Yeah,
Fade. Then runs with Paul impaled on his knife.
Yeah, so he's got one hand on the knife, the other hand on the back of Paul's head, and it's just screaming and basically pushes Paul towards the middle of the arena.
Yeah.
And then plunges the knife even deeper into him.
And, I mean, we talk a lot about the sound and just the sound of this, like, flesh ripping here. Oh, it made me squirm a little bit.
Squeam?
Maybe squeam.
Oh. Squirm and scream.
I went, at the same time. I squeamed. Anyways. And Fade kind of just like throws Paul away at this point.
He tosses him back towards Chani and the rest of the group.
And he doesn't like fall down, which is good for him because I feel like that would be one of the first things I would want to do.
Yeah. Well, hold on. Another thing too, before he tosses Paul over.
Mm-hmm.
So we get a shot of Fade's face as he's plunging the knife into Paul.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you noticed this, but Fade looks so just like dead and emotionless as he's doing it.
Sure.
Which is very weird because you would think he'd be like super horny about it and everything.
Well, he's not dead yet. He wants him to be dead. That's the part that he
gets. No, but like what I'm saying is like Fade's eyes are just like complete in his face are just like completely blank as he's just like running it right through.
He's focused on the kill.
I guess.
So after Paul gets thrown away, he just kind of stands there stunned.
Yep.
Looks down and he kind of sort of hunches over a little bit, which, by the way, all of this would be fucking painful with a knife stuck in your belly. Any kind of movement. So how he is able to, like, again, stand and like move his torso at all is crazy to me.
I'd like to correct myself. Earlier I said it would be in his either pancreas or descending colon. It would be his spleen or descending
spleen.
Colon.
Spleen. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Either way, still not a good.
You don't want to get stabbed there.
No.
Gurney winces some more. Jessica looks fucking terrified right here.
Chani's stressing.
And Stilgar is almost in shock. You know, this is not supposed to happen. This is the Messiah. He can't be taken out like this.
Yeah.
And as Fade starts to make his way over to Paul, Paul then looks over to Chani. And this is where I put in my notes. She gives him a look that says, "You don't die here. I get to kill you later."
Yeah.
No, it's a look of concern. And
well, she's about to be even more concerned.
I know. Fade looks like he's about to, he's coming in for a kiss a little bit. I mean, he puts his arm around him.
Grabs him by the fucking back of the head again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he comes in, just gives him a little smooch.
Yep.
No, what he does is he aims his blade about the same place that Raban got slashed.
Yeah.
Kind of the chest. Upper chest, yeah. Lower neck, right, that intersection.
Yeah,
right,
not there. A good place to be stabbed.
No.
Not another good place to be stabbed.
No, most of your body exists through that pipeline. So. Mm-hmm. Oh, and then Paul does one of the things I hate the most.
Yeah.
In blade fighting scenes. Oh, I hate this so much.
Grabs the blade, and then the blade slips a little bit in his hand a couple times, and it also makes a really wet, like, sinewy tearing sound.
Now, I want to... As much as we both seem to hate this, I do want to talk about it.
Okay.
So, yes, it starts to slide slowly inward. Now, Paul is wearing gloves in this moment. I have to imagine that they are some kind of armored future gloves. Because with this blade sliding like this and the amount of pressure that Paul is putting on the blade, if it is actually cutting into his hand, his fingers are coming off.
Yeah.
It is cutting into those joints and rendering his hand useless, if not fingerless.
Yeah.
So his gloves have to be some kind of like Kevlar woven gloves or something.
Something. Either way, it's not a good sound.
Yeah. And the sound would lead you to believe that it is slicing into skin.
Yeah.
But the fact that he is able to use his hand afterwards, spoilers,
I feel like that's just some movie magic, maybe. Yeah,
I don't know. So, the blade. Oh, God. I forgot I wrote these notes. Just give me a second. So, the blade slides ever closer to Paul, and he's grunting in extremely labored breathing.
Yep.
A la Forrest Gump's impression of his grade school principal after he fucks his mom so that Forrest can continue to attend a hella corrupt and prejudicial 1950s Alabama school that wants to kick him out because of his candy caps. Remember that part in the beloved movie Forrest Gump?
Your mom really cares about your education, boy.
I'm so glad it won so many awards, John. 1995 Academy Award for Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actor, Best Adapted Screenplay, Best Visual Effects, and Best Film Editing. Fucking swept at the Oscars that year.
God damn.
And that piece of shit movie launched the god-awful trend that you cannot depict Vietnam without playing fucking Fortunate Son. That's where it started.
That's where it started?
That is where it started. Now, that being said, I do enjoy the movie.
No, it's a good, it's a good movie, but it is, like, you got to recognize it's just a fucking boomer jerk-off session. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a fun movie, but, you know, take it at face value.
You know, they tried to do a Forrest Gump 2.
It was a book that was written. Yeah. Instead of good things happening to him, bad things happened to him.
Yeah.
It would have been like Forrest causes 9/11 or something.
So apparently 9/11 is the thing that like kept them from doing it.
Like that's the kind of shit that would have happened in that movie.
Yeah.
No, they bought the... Yes, there's some like weird stories about this. Like, they bought the screenplay from the author, or bought the rights from the author.
Yeah.
And they did like the weird Hollywood accounting to where on paper, the movie never made any money.
Right.
So that the author got shafted.
Yeah.
On like the residuals and or royalties or whatever. But it made the studios millions and millions and millions of dollars. So he like sued them or tried to, you know, take legal action, and they bought the rights for the second part of Forrest Gump for some undisclosed amount of money.
Yeah.
To get him to shut the fuck up. Okay. Rant over about Forrest Gump. I'm sorry. But the grunting sounded like that. Yeah. Our minute ends there. That's minute ends as the knife is getting slowly closer.
The knife
closer
is to ball. Inches away.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anything from your side? Now, book comparison here. The hip needle is something that's completely left out.
Yep. Once again, the sci-fi miniseries does it better.
Yep. The yeah, I don't know. I'll talk about it later, but there's this whole arc about Fade has a needle, like a poison needle on his hip that he's trying to use to get to like stab Paul secretly or whatever. And that's just completely left out, which I'm fine with. That was one of those things I was like, that's kind of, even for Frank Herbert,
it's a little goofy.
Yeah, it's stretching credulity a little bit.
Yeah.
So that is the closest that Paul gets to, maybe not the closest. I'll have to check the book. But anyways, that's all I got for today.
All right, cool. Well, that's all I have as well. So let's say we come back tomorrow and talk more about what's going to happen.
All right, cool. See you then. Wait, no, do your intro. Yeah. Do your outro. Sorry. Yeah, sorry, 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 sorry.
Like, you're just going to cut me off there. God damn, dude.
Blue Sky, email. Do it.
You can find the Dune Minute on Blue Sky at DuneMinute.com, and you can email DuneMinute@gmail.com if you'd like to get in touch with us while you wait for tomorrow's episode. We will be back with more, and we'll see you then.
See ya.